Come on in.
The Hessen family lives in a quaint subdivision in southwest Raleigh. There used to be three kids at home, but these days one is missing, 25-year-old Omar. He's in prison in Florida, sentenced to 15 years, guilty of conspiring to provide material support to terrorists. He's linked to a failed plot to commit terrorist attacks during a 2007 trip to Israel. The government's case rests largely on Facebook activity and confidential informants. Omar is one of the young guys known as the Raleigh Seven.
It's very sad.
That's Ali Hassan, Omar's dad. He has a tendency of smiling right before he tells you something depressing.
We feel like we're in jail ourselves. We're focusing on Omar's case because we know he's innocent. We know he didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, he might use actually bad words, profanity against others. But that doesn't make him a terrorist.
The government accuses Omar of posting lyrics to an anti-Semitic rap song on his Facebook page. Hassan says somehow that entangled his son in this terrorism plot. But what upsets Hassan just as much as his son's situation is the reaction from fellow Muslims.
In the beginning, there was a lot of people that I know that used to be very close friends. We used to meet and talk about everything. And as soon as Omar got arrested, they just kept themselves away from me, and I didn't know why. See, when you have a party, I mean, if you invite people, or even without inviting people, people will come to you because they're going to have fun. But in a crisis, that's the time when you find out who's the real friend.
Hassan says Omar's best friends disappeared, and old family friends refused to write character letters to the judge. Omar's younger sister, Sarah, chirps in. She says people are afraid, terrified that just by showing up and watching these trials, the government may target them. She says that anxiety heightened after Naveen Al-Sheikh was arrested.
If this happened to Naveen, who's like the nicest person, who has not involved with anything, who just there to help people, then it can happen to anyone.
Raleigh Muslims describe Al-Sheikh as a pillar in the community, a selfless woman who taught special education kids at a Montessori and introduced recycling bins to the mosque. She was arrested in January for allegedly trying to hire a hitman to kill an FBI informant. The arrest rattled the Muslim community more than the initial Raleigh 7 case. Al-Sheikh is a face everyone knows. She was Jawaria Hassel's second grade teacher.
Sister Naveen is a mother to our high school girls and the girls that need like a role model, basically. She worked very hard and did what she thought was best all the time.
Fridays at the mosque are social nights. Tonight, guys are playing basketball, girls are doing yoga. Al-Sheikh used to lead the girls' youth group at the mosque. Nowadays, she's on house arrest till her trial begins. So a few college girls are picking up the slack.
Mine might be really small. Yeah, they should.
Mine didn't go with any.
Okay, use these.
Dude, I'm all lose these.
I'm not
going to
use them.
Rawan Goda is volunteering today. She's helping middle school girls make jewelry. Goda is passionate about these terrorism trials. Through the case of the Raleigh 7, local Muslims discovered informants were operating in the community. They still might be, and that irks Goda.
To me, I always grew up believing, I was taught and raised that these are my brothers and sisters.
Goda says she could leave her purse unattended in the mosque and know that no one would steal any money. Now, Goda says, she worries someone could wiretap her purse.
Since the trials, we noticed that there was a lot of undercover FBI informants that took stories and just flipped it to make it seem like the prosecuted brother said things that they really didn't mean. And now it's just like, oh, I need to watch every word I'm saying, even if it's with a brother who I've known for years or a sister who I've known for years.
Local Muslims don't agree on much about these cases, whether the people charged are guilty or not, whether the government is entrapping innocent Muslims or not, and whether there's really a terrorism problem or not. But the one common thread is how these cases have broken the trust of a tight-knit community. Sami Abdulbaki was the mosque chairman for 9 years.
People, they know a person and they trust a person, and all of a sudden they found this person on trial and they don't know if this is correct or not.
Faris Barakat meets me outside the mosque after helping lead Friday prayers. Barakat isn't sure what to make of the upcoming case, but he's critical of law enforcement.
I can tell you the FBI has not done a good job of working with the Muslims. it's generally agreed upon that the Muslims are the first line of defense if anything like this is to happen. Statistically speaking, if anything was to happen, it was the Muslims who kind of let the FBI or the police know that there is this person who might not be right. They haven't done a good job of capitalizing on the fact that we are there to help, and we are, you know, citizens of this country as well, and we do not want to see anyone hurt. So they've done a really bad job there. And have they done a good job in alienating us? For the most people, probably yes.
The mosque administration insists it has a healthy relationship with the FBI. It also refuses to take an official stance on these terrorism cases, even though Al-Sheikh worked at the mosque. Imran Akhil is a spokesman for the Islamic Association of Raleigh. The group governs the mosques in Raleigh and Morrisville. He says Raleigh's Muslim population has exploded in recent years.
10 years ago, 15 years ago, everybody in the mosque knew everybody else. But now when you walk into the mosque for Friday services, me, having been here my whole life, I don't recognize easily about 50% of the people that I see in the mosque every time I come in on a Friday.
Akhil estimates the Raleigh area has about 25,000 Muslims.
It's an open mosque, and there's really no way to track who does what and who says what and why they say that and how they say that.
By listening to this story, you might think these terrorism trials are the topic of daily conversation, but that's hardly true. People don't talk about these cases unless you pry. Some are afraid. Others don't care. They don't think these terrorism trials relate to them because they don't say anything stupid to arouse suspicion. But nearly everyone agrees these cases have changed the local Muslim community in one way or another. People don't trust each other, they don't trust outsiders, and they don't trust law enforcement like they did before. Asma Khalid, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.